Tom Elliott, I assume if you heard Margaret Ritchie on Gumu this morning, you'd be rubbing your hands together as she was sounded like she was dismissing the possibility of a pact. Some will say that is almost handing you that seat.
Well, obviously, once an election's called,
and I think we've lost.
Clearly, I'll be going into the election on the basis that I'll be here representing the people of Northern Ireland and the people of Fermanagh and South Tyrone in particular. And obviously, that's the key to it, that I'll be taking.
But you must be delighted, Tom. Let's be honest, because if you know, if there isn't a pact, then you could be in a bit of trouble. You know, that is quite a highly contended seat.
Of course it is, and it will be one way or the other. It doesn't matter whether there's pacts or not. It will still be a highly contested seat, and that will continue to be. But all you can do is go on the record of what you're doing, and that is providing representation for the people there, and particularly when there's some big issues and big debates. And
why not stand up to the DUP, and why not compete against them? Obviously, the UUP, some would say, has been struggling over the past few years. It's in decline, has been described by some. So why not use this as another opportunity to try and have a resurgence in the party, to come back from this downward spiral?
What I want to do, and I'm sure most people in the province want to do, is ensure that there's proper representation at Westminster. That is to ensure that the people's voice of Fermanagh and South Tyrone is heard there, and that we allow them to have their say.
What about your party?
I think that's key.
What about the UUP?
Well, what I'm saying is that this is about the people of Fermanagh and South Tyrone, the people of Northern Ireland. And it's not just about party politics. This is a much broader issue.
Come on, Tom.
It does appear, Vinny, that we're not going to have any agreement that's going to restore the Assembly and Executive here in the very short term. So having people at Westminster could be even more important as we go forward into the future. So clearly it's a matter of representation for
the
people.
Of course. And obviously representation is important, and perception of party power and party influence is important as well. And that's why some people will see this as the UUP rolling over once again for the DUP, letting them tickle your belly like some kind of lapdog.
Well, if you suggest that providing representation in the Mother of Parliaments at Westminster is rolling over, then I'll accept that. I don't accept that that is the situation. The reality of it is that we want to do what's best for the people of Northern Ireland. I think I'd be very surprised if most people don't want that as well, that they don't want to see proper representation, that they don't want to see people there speaking up for the people of Northern Ireland, their constituents.
Tom, just have a listen to this clip. This is from your leader, Robin Swan, on Newsline last night.
I'll talk to anyone that wants to talk to me at this minute in time. I want to see 18 Northern Ireland MPs sitting on the benches of Westminster arguing for the people of Northern Ireland.
So, obviously, you'll be encouraging your leader to go for that pact.
Well, I think what we'll be saying is what Robin's saying there is he'll be having discussions with parties and various people. And look, that's what politics is about. If you don't talk to people, you don't get anywhere. We've been through weeks of discussions now, and I know we haven't got agreement, but we've been sitting there trying to discuss things and trying to get agreement. So I'm sure that's what Robin will be doing over the next few days and weeks as well, with other parties, trying to find if there's mutual interest that's going to better have the is for the betterment of the people of Northern Ireland. And I would expect them to do that. I would expect all parties to do that as well.
David Gordon, because this is a first past the post, what do you think will make it more polarised?
Well, the environment is coming in on the back of a hard-fought, pretty bitter Assembly election will be a factor there. Brexit will divide opinion as well and complicate things. I mean, people are talking about this being another Brexit referendum, but it's more complicated than that, both across the water. Labour supported Article 50. Here, Tom's party was on the Remain side, but supported Article 50 being triggered. So it's a more complicated picture than just another rerun of the referendum. But, you know, elections in Northern Ireland tend to be fairly polarising, so there's no suggestion this one's going to be any different. It'll be interesting to see about the PACs. Tom's clearly keeping his options open there.
Some would say Tom doesn't have a lot of options. If there's no pact, then it's unlikely he'll get a seat.
I think there'll be general unionist support for a pact in Fermanagh and South Tyrone.
What does that say about a party? Will that concern people? We heard Patricia McBride say earlier that does that just suggest that there's no confidence in your party if they need to rely on another party for strength?
The pact in Fermanagh South Tyrone worked well for the UUP. They also won a seat. I mean, the last general election was probably the high point, was the high point of Mike Nesbitt's leadership, so they don't have any fears about that. The question is how far the pack goes, if there is one. Does it include East Belfast again? Does it include South Belfast? Do they let all sitting MPs have a free run this time? Given the outcome of the Assembly election and all the talk about the Union's majority going to the Assembly, is there now a kind of circling of the wagons and more emphasis on Unionist unity going forward? It's a big call for Robin Swan, just in the door as part of the year. There are risks, you know, going back to what Patricia said about, you know, party losing its identity, going into a pact with another party and the traditional rival. But I would be surprised if there's not some kind of electoral understanding between the DUP and UUP. I'd be fairly amazed if the SDLP agreed to a pact with Sinn Féin before in elections, and the SDLP have turned it down flat on very strong grounds. Their words have come back to haunt them if they agreed to it this time around.
Well, let's ask the SDLP. Mark Durkin is with us. Good morning, Mark.
Good morning, Vinny.
What do you reckon? Will there be a pact? Margaret didn't seem to be too keen this morning.
Well, everybody knows our position has always been in the past that we haven't done pacts. We haven't run in every seat in every election that has been called in the past. But the fact is, we have set out our stall and offered ourselves. That's what elections.
Yes, but of course, it's slightly different this time.
Yes, well, it is
because of Brexit.
It is more than slightly different this time, in the sense that, of course, Westminster elections are first past the post, which means that people inevitably get drawn into all sorts of questions of tactical voting. It's not a straightforward choice between parties. And, of course, the Prime Minister has called this sort of as a reinforcement referendum. It's an election being used to reinforce a referendum result. And those of us in Northern Ireland who voted to remain will maybe want to think about how we can use this election to reinforce the will for remain in Northern Ireland. So that's how, that's one of the things that parties are going to have to do, is to work out how we can offer the public the best and the most articulate choice in the context of this election. Of course, we would say the SDLP is the best anti-Brexit vote that people can cast. We were registered for the referendum campaign, unlike some other parties, and we campaigned against Brexit. We have worked against it at all levels, and we have been consistent even in the case for special status, which Sinn Féin originally opposed and have now tried to adopt as their own position.
Okay, well, what do you reckon, Mark, in terms of the outcome? I know it's very difficult to predict what will happen in any election at all, but do you think you will hold on to your seats?
Well, a wiser person than me said prophecy is the most gratuitous form of error.
Oh, come on. We
go into the election. This isn't an election we sought or asked for. If there's a vote today, we'll probably vote against it, because we're not going to make liars of ourselves. We're not going to pretend that we were advocating this election in the past number of months. So why should we vote for it today as though we were? And because we do worry about the consequences of an election just now, the consequences for our own
process. So you are concerned?
The consequences for our own process. We're not concerned about our own seats. We're worried about the consequences for our own process.
Okay. Well,
First and foremost, we're also worried about what the consequences will be in terms of the conduct of the Brexit negotiations overall, because we know what Theresa May's agenda is in terms of this election. But now that the election has been called, we will fight it with confidence, not with complacency. We respect voters,
of course.
We respect opponents, and that's what elections are about.
Yes, but no one is calling that into question. The SDLP do seem far less in favour of a pact than Sinn Féin. Do you think will the voters punish you for that?
Well, voters may well do. What we have to do is consider, first and foremost as a party, how we, and other parties will face the same challenge, how do we give people the optimum choice in this election that is really a referendum being dressed up as an election? And so there are questions and challenges for us there, particularly in the context of a first-past-the-post election. And if we have a pro-leave axis being formed by unionist parties who are determined now to deliver Brexit and who've been voting for Brexit here in Westminster, there is going to be an onus on us to say, well, how do we ensure that there are anti-Brexit voices, that there are pro-Remain voices in the next Parliament?
Okay.
Now, the SDLP is the best way of doing that.
Just have a discussion, Mark, instead of a monologue. David Gordon, you want back in there?
Yeah, that's quite intriguing comments from Mark there. Just to ask Mark directly, are you floating the possibility of a kind of anti-Brexit pact going beyond just yourselves and Sinn Féin, maybe bringing in the Alliance? Is that the way you're thinking about maybe bringing in the Greens? Are you thinking about the possibility of anti-Brexit candidates on a joint ticket in some constituencies?
No, I think voters, as they look at the wider campaign across the UK, and then as they look at how the campaign is going to shape up in Northern Ireland, they will want to know that parties have looked at possibilities. I think we will be hearing that from voters now.
So why not form
all sorts of principled reasons?
Why not formalise it then, Mark?
All sorts of parties have that is neither going to be
with so much at stake, Mark Durkin. Why not formalise it?
Sorry, with Drummond.
With so much at stake, this is in some ways this is a one-off election because of Brexit. So why not formalise that?
Well, it's not for me to come along and say and bounce out other parties or my own party or anything else into anything. I think what we will be hearing from voters is, because what we've been hearing from voters even during the Assembly campaign was people very concerned about Brexit and the effects and the impact of Brexit and wanting to know whether parties could get their act together on Brexit. That's one of the reasons why people want to see an executive formed, why people want a devolved administration, because a devolved administration is one of the few ways we can get a handle on shaping Brexit. A devolved administration is one of the ways in which we can answer some of the questions we're being asked by people elsewhere in Europe about how to best support the peace process in the context of Brexit. So if the public are worried about that, we have to be thinking about how we give them the best choice. And it might well be that parties can simply give the best choice by setting out our own best stall in elections in the traditional way. And I think that's probably the way it will end up.
Yes, go ahead, David.
Excuse my rudeness for putting in again. So, Mark, ask another question. If Sinn Féin won talks about a possible electoral pact or electoral arrangement, are the SDLP up for those talks this time round?
Well, obviously, we are in inter-party talks at the minute. We can't control what issues anybody else will raise.
Those wouldn't be about
At the next bilateral we will have, we can't control what issues anybody else will raise.
That doesn't sound like a no, then.
No, we cannot control. We are committed to bilateral and multilateral talks at the minute with parties in relation to the possible formation of the executive. Obviously, Brexit is one of the big issues in those talks. Brexit is also going to be a big issue in the election, so it would be odd for us to try to say in the next bilateral we have, people are not allowed to raise any other questions, just as we wouldn't accept us not being allowed to raise questions.
Okay. I would be interested to hear what you think at home this morning. 030 30 80 55 55. Would you be in favour of an anti-Brexit alliance? Let's talk to Patrick in Derry first. Go ahead, Patrick.
Now, I'm throwing the cat among the pigeons. You see, there's a party, and I don't vote for them, it's called Sinn Féin. They've done more U-turns since Trump. They went into politics, they went into Dáil, they went into Stormont, they went with the police. I think what they should do now is if they get in, go to Westminster. If they go to Westminster, they're going to shake it up because they're going to nullify the unionist vote and over there. But they are a Remain party, and so is the SDLP. And I really think, forget about PACs, just go for it, because they can't turn around and say, we won't go to Westminster. You've already done that many U-turns in Sinn Féin. Now, this is nothing new. I would expect them to do it, believe it or not. That's their way of working. They just say it next. And it would shake up Westminster. You think of them boys and girls walked into Westminster, Sinn Féin. They know, and I know this from a pact in the past, when they used to do the count, they used to ignore the Sinn Féins because they wouldn't be there. But if they were there, it's three, I don't know how many votes they have. I don't know how many they won in Westminster, but by God, it makes a hell of a difference. And at least they're fighting for something. They're saying, right, we're going to go there because we are a Remain party. And I'll tell you what, if we make it more interesting in Northern Ireland, instead of PACs here and PACs there, let's have the thing out in the open.
Well, here's another question, Patrick, in terms of Remain voters, unionist Remain voters, who do they go for? Tom Elliott, should they be voting for you?
Sorry, I missed that finish.
Unionist Remain voters. So people that voted to remain within the EU, should they be voting for you?
Well, I think the reality of it is we have to accept that the people of the United Kingdom spoken on that issue last June. The issue of whether we're going to come out of the European Union or not is over and done with what we know.
Surely, but you have to admit, though, that will impact on how people vote this time because of the reason. It's fairly obvious that the reason for this general election is because of Brexit. So that will still be in people's mind, and the deal that we then get.
Yes, and I think your last point is the one that's relevant, and that is the deal that we get, and that is the most important factor at the moment for the United Kingdom, and particularly, I have to say, for Northern Ireland. Very, very important what deal we get between the European Union and the United Kingdom, and that's what the issue is around now. It's not about whether we can overturn the decision that was taken by the people last June. That's over and done with. The issue now is what we want to get for the best deal for the people of Northern Ireland.
Tom, are you worried that even if there is no formal pact between Sinn Féin and the SDLP, that nationalist voters in Fermanagh, South Tyrone, will back a Sinn Féin candidate, especially if it's Gilder New, Michelle, so that, you know, they can oust you? Because some would say you're not seen as a friend to nationalists in that area.
Well, look, that's a matter for the electorate, and I'm not going to...
But are you worried about that? Do you think that could be an issue?
I generally don't get worried about... politics, what it is, I'm there to represent the people, and it's the people I'm worried about. So the reality of it is, what we want to do is make sure we have people that represent them at Westminster, particularly coming up to these negotiations regarding Brexit, and they are very important negotiations, very important given the land border that we have with another jurisdiction. And you know, we've already had discussions with the Irish government, we've had discussions with the UK government. Indeed, I met the Secretary of State yesterday evening about these issues, and it is key, and let's not forget, I facilitated a visit by Robin Walker, one of the Brexit ministers, over to Fermanagh and South Tyrone to actually see for himself and meet businessmen and establish his view on what it meant for the border there in Fermanagh and South Tyrone.
Okay, Tom Elliott, we'll leave it there. Thank you very much. Mark Durkin, thank you as well.